We're holding on Menhei Omud Beis by the second Mishnah at the bottom. So we talked about the measuring that they do to find the closest city for the Egla Arufa. Now, Niftu Rizikne Yushalayim V'Holchalahen, now at this point, once the measuring has been done, then the Zkenim, the Chachamim from the Sanhedrin of Yushalayim, they take leave and they go. Their job there is done. Now, Zikne Oisair, the Chachamim, the Zkenim, the members of the Sanhedrin of that particular city that was found to be the closest, and it means Mevian Eglas Bakar, they bring a calf, and it means not just they bring it from their own money, the money for it comes from everybody in town. Anyway, so they bring an Eglas Bakar, a calf, Asher Lemoshcha Ba'ol, whereas the Pasuk says it never pulled a yoke, which we're going to talk about that in great detail in the Gemara, what exactly passels it in terms of yokes or other kinds of burdens. The ena mum poisoba, however, a mum does not passel it, because it's not a carbon after all. We bring it down, as the Pasuk says, to a nachal eisan. Now, what does the word eisan mean? Eisan kamashmoi kosher. The word eisan means exactly what it sounds like. It means hard, as the Gemara is going to show that you have psukim where the word eisan means hard. But alpha pichena eisan kosher, even if it wasn't eisan, even if it wasn't such hard ground, then it's still kosher. Rashi over here and on the Pasuk explains exactly that, that eisan means kosher hard ground. On the other hand, the Rambam has a different, and according to Rashi, the word nachal means a valley. So according to him, it means a valley with hard ground. The Rambam instead understands that nachal means a stream and eisan means that's fast flowing. So according to the Rambam, that would be the kind of place where you do the Egla Arufa by a fast flowing stream. There's an interesting sikha where the Rebbe talks about the among various details about the Egla Arufa, including this, that the Gemara says later why specifically Hashem chose that the kapara for this should be using an Egla and in a Nachal Eisan and so forth. And in the course of that, the Rebbe points out there are a few different reasons that are given for this mitzvah. Is it meant as a kapara? Is it meant, like we talked about the last couple of days, as a method of making generating publicity in order that we should more easily be able to find the Ritzeach and so forth. And therefore, the various opinions about whether it means hard ground or whether it means a fast flowing stream may depend on that. Anyway, continues the Mishnah. Then they decapitate the calf using a koifetz, which is a large knife, like a cleaver or a machete or something, from behind its head. So that's the Egla Arufa. Now, once they decapitated the animal, then the place where this mitzvah is done is Egla Arufa of Egla Arufa is also from then is also to plant or to do work or to do field work over there, as we're going to see in the Gemara. However, you are allowed to do work over there that's not directly tied with the ground. For example, you're allowed to comb flax or to carve out stones over there. You're only also to do malacha that has to do with the actual ground itself. Next, Zikne Oisir Irichtsinis Yedeim Bamayim. The elders of the city, the members of the Beis Din of the city, now wash their hands with water, b'mokum arifa shel egla, in the place where the calf was decapitated, v'omnim, and they say the pasuk, yodeinu lo shofchu sadam hazeh ve'einenu lo ra'u, that it says, our hands did not spill this blood, and our eyes did not see. So you have to ask, why do they need to say that? V'chiyal da'atenu olsa shezikne beistin shevchidam him. And what? If they didn't say that, would we think that the elders of the beistin themselves are murderers? Why do they have to say such a phrase? So Ella, what they mean is, shaloi bo al yodenu uptanuhu b'loi mazin. They mean to say that this person who was killed over here, he didn't come to our hands, meaning to our attention, and we let him go from the city without food. Now we learned yesterday that for the Egla Arufa situation to take place, it has to be the guy was killed by a sword, so or by some metal weapon. So what would that have to do with not having food? So Rashi here and also earlier in the Masechta explains conceivably you could have the guy was left to leave the city without food. He was hungry, so then he saw somebody else, and he figures he's going to rob him in order to get some food, and that guy kills him in self-defense. So therefore, it could conceivably happen that he was killed as a result of not having been provided with food. So now, Beistin is saying that we didn't do that. We did, in fact, we, Beistin, wouldn't have allowed that to happen. Now, they're not excluding the fact, obviously, the guy was killed. So it's possible, for example, that somebody individual in the city allowed it to happen and Beistin didn't know about it. But they're saying, we didn't know that this guy was in town and then left. If we had known, then we wouldn't, if we had known, we would have made sure he was provided with food. And similarly, and we didn't see him and leave him alone to go by himself without being accompanied. Again, Beistin is saying, if we had known that he was in town, we would have made sure that somebody accompanies him. We're going to discuss in the Gemara in some detail this mitzvah of Lavoya. The minimum the Gemara says is 4 amos. So Marusha discusses over here, actually. So what's the point? If you're just walking him 4 amos, how exactly does that help? And the answer is because what it means is by that you're showing that you care for him and you want him to get to his destination safely. So therefore, that factors in. Hashem considers that when it comes time to consider, well, does this guy deserve to actually make it safely to his next place? Well, the fact that you looked out for him and you are concerned for him, then Hashem factors that into it. Do you deserve, therefore, that even if the guy himself doesn't deserve to be saved, maybe in the source of you who was malava him, maybe therefore Hashem will save him as a result of your zchusim, because Hashem doesn't want to upset you unnecessarily. And this is the same idea behind, for example, saying mishaberachs and other such things. That we show that we care for the other person, and Hashem factors that in. So the Ziknei Beis Din say that. Then v'hakoyanim oimrim. Then the koyanim speak up and say. A few psukim earlier it says that the koyanim come close, and up till now it hasn't said what role they play. So now they say the continuation. The pasuk continues. Kapil amcha Yisrael asher podisa Hashem. Hashem, forgive your Jewish people that you redeemed. And don't allow that there should be the guilt for innocent blood to be placed among the Jewish people. Now the end of the pasuk for the finishes off. The blood will be forgiven for them. Now they don't actually say that. Those last words, v'nikap lehem adam, are the ruach hakodesh, or the narrative of the pasuk telling them. Telling Moshe, telling the Jewish people, when you do this procedure of Egla Arufa, Hadam Miskap Elohem, then the blood will be forgiven you. And don't worry, in other words, that you're still going to have a residual guilt for it, because you did everything you could, as the Ziknei Beis Din were just saying, that we did everything possible to prevent this from happening, and they now did the Egla Arufa. There's also an idea, by the way, Targum Yonason says on the Pasuk an interesting point, as a result of all of this, Hashem would cause, so now you have a dead body of a calf over there that was buried, worms start feasting on it. Eventually, those worms go and start heading in a large group towards Bederach Nes, towards the person who committed the murder, and then the worms start attacking him, and then everybody sees that this guy is, that's the situation, and then they realize that he's the murderer, and they bring him to Beis Din and get him dealt with. So therefore, as a direct, so in a way, the Egla Rufa is almost like the Mei Soita of earlier in our Masechta, where you have Bederach Nes afterwards, something happens that exposes who the guilty party is. Okay. So the Gemara starts off.
Is that written down somewhere? Is that written down?
That's yeah, it's written in Targum Yonason on the Pasuk. Marusha brings it over here. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So the Gemara starts off. V'yehei mum poisel be'egla mikal v'chomer. Now you're telling me in the Mishnah that the Egla Arufa can have a mum, and it's not possible. Well, shouldn't it be a kal v'chomer? Then it does. Uma pora she'ena shonim poisles ba. Madoch pora adroma. Here throughout the sugya, throughout this daf, we're going to be comparing over and over the Egla Arufa and the Pora Adruma, because after all, they have the dinim of them are similar in some ways. In particular, both of them they can't have carried a burden. By the Pora Adruma, it says in the expression in the Pasuk is Asher lo ola aleha oil. In the case of the Egla Arufa is Asher lo ubad ba, that work was not done with it. Asher lo moshkabo oil, that it didn't pull a yoke. So therefore, all throughout this Omud and the beginning of the next Omud, the Gemara is going to be comparing and contrasting them. So now, first of all, consider the Pora Adruma, She'ena Shanim Poislis Ba. Years don't passel age doesn't pass a parah drummer. In principle, a parah drummer could be as old as you want. Practically speaking, the Mishnah at the beginning of parah says they don't usually want to wait too long because eventually it may develop black hairs or a mum or whatever and be disqualified. But in principle, the animal could be as old as you want. And yet mum posabo, you had a mum passels in a parah drummer because it says so. Asher in bom mum. So then egla shoshonim poislesba. So then the egla rufa, where age passels it, because it has to be an egla, which means a calf, which means within 1 year old, or actually that's how Rashi says, although actually elsewhere, the Gemara brings an opinion of the Chachamim that it can be up to 2 years old, but whatever, beyond a certain point, 1 year or 2 years, then you can't use it as an egla rufa anymore. So ein adin, she hey mum poisel ba. So shouldn't it be a kavachomer that a mum passels it? Why is the Mishnah telling us that a mum does not pass it? And the answer is shiny hosom to omakra asher ein bo mum. Because if you look at the pasuk about the parah drumah, it says that there was not a mum in it. So therefore, the word bo is a mute. Bo mum poisel vein mum poisel ba'egla. So it's coming to tell us that it only passels by the parah drumah, but not by the egla rufa. Well, the question is elamayata lo yu shara avodas poslis ba. By that logic, then we should say that other kinds of, so if you're going to tell me that every time it says ba is a mute, and it means, in other words, even though we would have thought to say a kavachomer, now you're telling me we don't say a kavachomer anymore, then by that logic, lo yu shara avodas poslis ba, then other kinds of work shouldn't pass by a parah drumah. By a parah drumah, it only mentions asher lo ola aleha oil, that no yoke went on it. So therefore, now, by the egla rufa, it also says the word ba. Asher le ubad ba, that no work was done with it. Asher le moshcha ba'ol, that it didn't pull a yoke. So if you're telling me that ba says that you can't do a kavachomer, then that would mean you can't learn from the egla rufa to the parah aduma as far as that or other kinds of malacha pasalim. So alama omer Rabbi Yehuda omer Rav, in that case, why does Rabbi Yehuda say in the name of Rav that no, in fact, the parah aduma can also be pasled by other kinds of work? So he says, if a person placed on top of the parah aduma an oida of sacks, an oida of sacks, Rashi explains over here, it means a bundle of sacks. So you have, let's say, a bunch of empty bags. There's nothing in them. Nevertheless, that's still considered a burden that you placed on the animal, and therefore it makes it possible the parah aduma. This Gemara is also in Avodah Zarah. Rashi gives another explanation over there that an oidah shel sakin would be a piece of wood that's used to hold together the sacks. Whatever the case, the point is it's not a yoke. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that it passels the psula, that the animal is possible over egla ad shetimshech. Now, when it comes to an egla arufa, it's going to be possible only if it actually starts moving while carrying that burden. In other words, so by the parah aduma, since the expression in the pasuk is that asher lo ola aleha oil, then we learn that all that has to do is come on it, that a yoke or other kind of burden was placed on it, even if it didn't walk. On the other hand, by the egla arufa, it says asher lo moshcha ba'oil, that it didn't pull with a yoke, implying that it actually has to walk with the yoke in order to be possible. Further on, the Gemara is going to ask what the logic is. If we're learning from the egla arufa to the parah aduma, then why is the parah aduma more chomer? We'll get back to that later. But anyway, the point is that we see that by the parah aduma, other things other than a yoke possible. But if you're telling me that the word ba by the egla arufa says not to do a kavachomer, then we should say that by the parah aduma only a yoke passels, nothing else, not this oida shel sakin. So the answer is shiny parah diyalfinan oil me'egla. The difference is because by the parah aduma we're actually learning by gzeira shava, because it says the word oil there and it says the word oil by the egla arufa, then therefore so the gzeira shava is different. Unlike a kavachomer, where you could slug it up and you could say, because it says ba, when it comes to the gzeira shava, you can't do that. Well, the question is egla nami tesi oil mipara. And then the question is, in that case, learn the kavachom, learn the gzeira shava the other way around as well. Say that and learn from the para, and therefore say that it should that a mum should passel it. And the answer is ba. Yeah, but since the pasuk said the word ba, then it means all you can learn is things that have to do with the oil. So fine, yes, you can learn with the Kal v'chomer, with the Gzeira Shava, that anything that has to do with an oil, anything that has to do with a yoke or other kind of burden is going to passel it. But because you have the word ba by the Parah Adumah, therefore you say that that blocks us from using a Kal v'chomer to say that mumim would passel as well. Okay, so the question is, well then, what are you doing with the ba that it says by the Egla Arufa? And the answer is, that ba is not telling us about the relationship between the Parah Adumah and the Egla Arufa, but rather, that tells us something else, that when it comes to kodshim, when it comes to animals for korbanos, the fact that work was done with them doesn't passel them. So in other words, the buff by Parah Adumah tells us to limit what it says by the Parah Adumah, the fact that it can't have mumim, limit it only to that, but don't apply it to the Egla Arufa, even though certain other dinim about the oil are being learned from one to the other. Meanwhile, the buff by the Egla Arufa is not talking towards the Parah Adumah at all. It's saying, but you should know, other korbanos are kosher even if work was done with them. Because otherwise, sakudat chamina. Otherwise, you would have thought to say leisi b'kal v'chomer me'egla. Again, you would think to make a kal v'chomer from the egla arufa. Uma egla she'in mum poisel ba'avoda poiselus ba. Madach the egla arufa, where, as we've just established, a mum doesn't passel it, but doing work with it does passel it. Kodshim she'mum poiselus behen, and in din she'avoda poiselus behen. Wouldn't it be a kal v'chomer then that kodshim, where a mum passels them, then work should also passel them? So you should need for a korban only an animal that work was never done with. Therefore, comes the ba by the Egla Arufa and tells us that not. Well, the Gemara asks, you could show, you don't even need that. You don't even need the word ba to slug that up. Ikala Mifrach. You could anyway slug up the Kal v'chomer. Mala Egla Shaken Shonim Poislis ba. Because after all, the Egla Arufa, we just said before, there's a maximum age for it. Beyond a certain age, it's possible. So therefore, so you could say, because of that chumra, you also have together with it the chumra that work can't have been done with it. Where are you getting? So that's an easy way to slug up the Kal v'chomer. You don't need the word ba in order to slug that up. So the Gemara says right back, well, otu kodshim yileka de pasli b'hushanim. Well, new, and by kodshim, aren't there some that also there's a maximum age? For example, a regular person's chatas has to be an animal within a year old. A korban pesach, also an animal within a year old. Certain other korbanos, yeah, you also have time limits. So therefore, yes, you do have, there certainly are some korbanos that have time limits. Well then, well then, in that case, you could say that you would have thought at least to make a Kal v'chomer as far as the korbanos where years do passel them. For example, again, a chatas or other things like that. So therefore, now you need the word ba to tell us, don't try to make that Kal v'chomer. Instead say that melacha never passels a korban, no matter whether it's a korban that has a maximum age or not. Okay. But the Gemara asks the kodshim b'lei pasla v'hu avoyde me'hocha nafka. So you're telling me that we learn from this posik, from the miyot to ba by the Egla Arufa, that melacha doesn't passel kodshim me'hosam nafka. In fact, we learn it from a completely different posik. The posik says, when it lists the mumim that an animal can't have, aver, it says averes, if the animal is blind, oi shavur, or if a bone is broken, oi chorutz, or if there's a notch in a bone, a notch or a scratch or whatever in a visible part of its body, oi yabelus, which is a type of wart, a gorov, a yalefes, or various other kinds of skin growths, loy sakrivu eile l'Hashem, it says you're not allowed to bring these as a korban to Hashem, and the word eile is a miut, so it means eile iyat makriv. You can't offer eile any of the ones that are mentioned in the, any of the, an animal that has any of the mumim mentioned in the pasuk, as well as a few dozen others. Aval at makriv kodshim shenev de behen avoda, but the eile is a miut, which says you are allowed to offer kodshim that avoda was done with them. So you know it from that posik. You don't need the boh by the Egla Arufa to teach you that. So the answer is the Gemara says still it's trich. You need it. Sakdat chamina hanimile hechad avod ben avodas heter. You would say, you know what? Fine. If the work that was done with the animal was work that is mutter, then fine. You're saying that you can bring it as a korban, and we're saying the word eila teaches us that that's not a problem. Avol. Avodas iser, but if you had, they were used for work that was osir. For example, Rashi says on Shabbos or or kilayim, where you had it work together with another species of animal, emel litzru, you would think that maybe they would be osir because you did an isur with them. So therefore you could say you need the ba to tell us that even in that case, it's not possible. So you'd need both. You'd need the Ela to teach us about Avodas Heter, and you'd need the Ba to teach us about Avodas Isser. Well, still, Baha Nami Mahacha Nafka. Well, still, you have another limud that you have that even Avodas Isser doesn't pass a carbon. Namely, a couple of psukim later, after the pasuk about the mumim that we just quoted, a couple of psukim later, it says, "Umiyad ben necho le'sakrihu es lechem alekechem mikol eila." From the hands of a goy, you're not allowed to offer the food of Hashem from any of these. Meaning, in context, and it was the pasuk is saying that any of these things that passel, any of these mumim that passel an animal for a Jew to bring it as a korban, they also passel if a goy wants to offer an animal as a korban, and goyim are able to offer korbanos in the Beis Hamikdash too, certain korbanos, then still it also can have these mumim. As opposed to, in other words, the Gemara explains elsewhere, if a goy wants to bring a korban to Hashem on his own private mizbeach, his own private bama, then it doesn't matter if it has such mumim. But when it comes to if he wants to offer it on Or Mizbeach, then it can't have any of these mumim. Anyway, it says again, we call Eila. And again, Eila Iyatamakrav, Avalatamakrav Kodshim Shenevda Behen Avoida. So it means you can't offer any of these, but you can offer Kodshim that work was done with them. And we have two Eilas. So one teaches us about Melechas Heter and the other about Melechas Isser. And so what do we need the Bah by the Egla Arufa to tell us that Melacha wouldn't pass it? And the answer is itzrich. You still need it. Sakda dechamina, because without the word ba, you would think hanimila hecha do'avid behen chen chulin. Fine. All of that would apply if you did work with the animal while it was chulin, then later on you were makdish it. Then that doesn't possible. Avol avid behen chen kodshim. But if you did avoid it with them when they were already, after they already became kodshim, ema litzru, then you would think maybe at that point they become osir tzricha, and therefore you need the ba to tell us that even then it's not possible. So you need all three of them in the end. Okay, so the bottom line is, in other words, again, that we have a buff by the Parah Aduma, we have a buff by the Egla Arufa. The buff by Parah Aduma tells us that Mumim Pasel only it, but not the Egla Arufa. The buff by Egla Arufa does not tell us that to not apply something from the Egla Arufa to the Parah Aduma. In fact, we are applying from one to the other. Rather, it tells us that don't apply what it says by the Egla Arufa about no work done, don't apply that to other kodshim. Gufa, the Gemara says, getting back to what we said before, we said if he placed an oida shel sakin on the Parah Aduma, then it already becomes possible. Where again, an oida shel sakin means either a bundle of empty bags, or it means the wood, the piece of wood that you use to hold the bags together, whatever. Anyway, so that already passels the Parah Aduma over Egla Adshatim Shech. On the other hand, we said with the Egla Arufa, it wouldn't be possible just from putting it on the animal's back. It would actually have to be that the animal moves and pulls it along. So the Gemara says, Mesvi. So the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, when it says in the Pasuk oil, when it says in the Pasuk by both Parah Aduma and by Egla Arufa, but here we're focusing on the Parah Aduma, when it says oil, a yoke passels it, in the Ela oil, so you would only know from that that a yoke passels it. Shad avodis minayin. How do we know that other kinds of work that the animal did also passel it as a Parah Aduma? Amarta kavachim. So the Braisa says you have to make kavachim. Uma egla shein mum poisel ba shad avodis poiseles ba madach the egla arufa, where a mum doesn't passel it, but other kinds of work do, because the posit clearly says asher lo ubad ba, that no work was done with it. So then the Parah Aduma, where a mum passels it, as it says in the pasuk, ain't a din shashar avodis poslim ba. Wouldn't it be a kavachomer that other kinds of work passel it as well? So that would be how we know, even though it only says oil. The im nafshach loymar, continues the Braisa, if you would desire to say differently, in other words, as the Gemara is going to point out in a second, there is a way of slogging up that kavachomer, then I'll give you a different way of learning this. Nema kan oil, v'nema lahalan oil. Then instead of learning by a kavachomer, we're going to learn from a gzeira shava, where it says oil by both the Parah Aduma and the Egla Arufa. Ma lahalan shad avodis postless ba. So just like by the Egla Arufa, other avodis pasel, afkan shad avodis postless, the same way over here, other avodis pasel it. So we would be learning from a Gzeira Shava, and a Gzeira Shava you can't schlug up as easily as a Kal V'Chomer. You could. There is a concept of Gzeira Shava. Yet within a Gzeira Shava, you have the question of whether the word is mufne or not, whether the word is unnecessary for the simple meaning of the pasuk. You could have the pasuk would have read well without it. So that's called mufne. It's available. And then when you have a Gzeira Shava, so you have there's different opinions in Gemaras else and in places in other places in Shas. Whether it's enough in order to not schlug it up, that it has to be mufna from one side or from both sides. But here we have, at the very least, it's mufna from one side, because once it says by the Egla Arufa that it can't have done any work, obviously it can't have carried a yoke, because carrying the yoke is work. So therefore, so the word oil over there is unnecessary. Maybe even by the Parah Adumah, you could say, because it says Asher like Ola Aleha oil, that a yoke didn't come up on it. Wouldn't it be enough to say Asher like Ola Aleha, that nothing came up on it? You would understand that that includes a yoke as well. So in any case, you have a Gzeira Shava that's mufna at least from one side, maybe even from both sides, and therefore you can't schlug it up just because it says the word ba.
How would it be both sides?
Both sides would be exactly that. Well, you have it if in both psukim, you don't need the word oil. If in both psukim, the pasuk could have left out the word oil, and we would still understand the concept. Then you would have yeah.
That's shaykh by paradum.
So that's what we're saying. Right? So maybe not. I mean, you could say over here definitely by the Egla rule for the word oil is unnecessary, but by the paradum, you could argue either way. I guess you could say when it says asher lo ola aleha oil, so you could say it needs the word oil, because otherwise, what would you understand? What does asher lo ola aleha mean? Or you could say maybe asher lo ola aleha means that no burden has ever been on it. Okay. Anyway. So that's the braisa. So that's how we learn that that other avoid apostles by the Parah Adumah. Again, either we can make a Kal V'Chomer from the Egla Arufa, or if you don't like the Kal V'Chomer, we can bring you a Gzeira Shava. So the Gemara says, my nafshach loymer. What's that objection that you would have to the Kal V'Chomer that then you need to bring the Gzeira Shava? So because b'chiteme ikel mifrach, you would say that you could slug up the Kal V'Chomer. Mala Egla Shaken Shonim Poislaspa. Because after all, we just said before, the Egla Rufa has a Chumrah that age passes it beyond a certain age, beyond 1 year or 2 years, it's possible, unlike the Parah Adumah, which in principle is not. Or you could slug up the Kal V'Chomer in a different way. You could prove the counter example from Kodshim. Shemum poisel behen. Kodshim also a mum passels them, and Avoda paselis behen. And Avoda doesn't passel them. So in other words, what are you telling me? Any time that a mum applies to something, anytime that something is passeled because of a mum, then Avoda also passels it. But you see that Kodshim is a counter example. So therefore, those two ways you can slug up the Kal V'Chomer from Egla Arufa to Parah Adumah. Therefore, instead, continues the Braisa, Nemakan oil, Malahalan Sharavodis have kan sharavodis. So we learn from the Gzeira Shava. Well, the question is, Umi Mokim Shabasa. Well, if you're telling me you're learning it from a Gzeira Shava, then you should learn exactly from where you're learning from. Malahalan Achatimshech, Avkan Achatimshech. Then by the Egla Arufa, we said it has to be that the animal actually moves while it's carrying that burden. So you should say the same thing by the Parah Adumah. Where are you getting that by the Parah Adumah? That other kinds of work should passel it, even if it didn't move with it, even if you just put something on the animal, that already should be enough to passel. If you're learning from a Gzeira Shava, from Egla Arufa, then you can't make it stronger than what you're learning from. So if by the Egla Arufa it only passels if it moves with it, why by the Parah Adumah are we saying as soon as you put it on the animal, then it becomes passel?
That's a different expression. Lay.
That's fine, but all the more so if you're by the Parah Adumah, it only says, Asher lo ola aleha oil, it doesn't even mention other kinds of work. We're only learning the other kinds of work from a Gzeira Shava. So therefore, why should we say that it's stronger by the Parah Adumah than by the Egla Arufa? And the Gemara answer is Tanoim. As a matter of fact, it's a machlokas Tanoim, how to learn it. Ika de Maisila Me'egla. It is true that there are Tanoim who learn the dinim of the Parah Adumah from the Egla Arufa, and according to them, you could ask this question. The Ika de Maisila Me'gufa de Parah. On the other hand, there are other Tanoim who learn from the words by the Parah Adumah itself, they learn that any kind of burden passels the animal. Well, in that case, then the dinim by Parah Adumah and by Egla Arufa can be different. So the Tana that says that that just putting it on the Parah Adumah makes it possible would be that second Tana. Detanya, because we learn in another Braisa. Oil, when the Pasuk says by the Parah Adumah oil, a yoke, makes it possible. Ainli ella oil, you would know from that so far only an actual yoke. Shara avodis minayin, and how would we know that the same thing applies to other kinds of work? Tamad lema, shalai ola ola oil mikol mokim. No, therefore the pasuk says that no yoke has come up on it, meaning no matter what, asher lo ola ola ha'oil. In other words, the same way, for example, as we've had previous drushes like that, where the pasuk puts the noun, the shame dover, at the end, and therefore we can darshan that the phrase up until that point means something, and only then are we having that detail. The same way over here, asher lo ola ola ha, means that nothing has come on it. Then the pasuk mentions specifically oil. In other words, if it had said asher lo ola oil aleha, so the word oil would be there before it even completed the statement, then you would say it means davka and oil. But because you have asher lo ola aleha, so you can understand that without the following word, nothing has come on it. Then the pasuk specifically is mentioning oil. So therefore, from that pasuk alone, you can see that anything that was placed on the animal passed it. So impain matam lema oil. So in that case, then why does the pasuk bother saying oil? To teach us, oil posel ben b'shas avoda, ben shaloi b'shas avoda, because it tells you a yoke passels whether at the time of working or whether not. Just placing a yoke on the animal, even if it didn't actually do any work with it, is enough to passel it. In other words, Rashi explains, let's say, for example, you put the yoke on it, not because you intend to have it work, just because, for example, you were carrying a yoke, and it's a big, heavy piece of wood with a lot of contraptions attached to it, and you got tired and you decided to put it on the animal's neck for a minute. So you didn't intend at all for it to do malacha.
Maybe it fits,
but whatever. It actually says that even when we're talking about you're carrying it and it's heavy and you want to put it down. So an oil would pass all no matter what. Shara avodas en posas ela b'shas avoda, as opposed to other kinds of things, would pass only when he's doing it b'shas avoda, at the time of work. Meaning, in other words, for example, Rashi says, returning to the example of sacks before, if he placed the sacks on the animal that he intended the animal was going to carry them someplace else, then it's going to be possible even if the animal didn't actually move with them yet. But if he put them on there just because he was carrying a lot and he needed someplace to put something down a minute, that wouldn't possible the animal. So by the paradigma, by the aglarufa, we're saying that it does. So that's why it says oil.
It says the expression of also of lele oil.
Yeah, but by the paraduma it says asher lo ola ola. By the egla rufa it doesn't. It says asher lo moshkav oil, that didn't pull the yoke. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara asks, fine, but in that case, the ema asher lo ubad bo klal oil prat. Well, in that case, why don't we learn that the word asher lo ubad bo is a klal? It means that no work was done with it at all. Then when it continues by the egla rufa oil prat, the oil that when it says asher lo moshkav oil would be a prat. And therefore, klal prat in b'chlal ela mashav prat. So therefore, we would say what is included in asher lo ubad ba only an oil and nothing else. So where are we getting that by the egla aruf for other things should passel it? The answer is asher ribuyahu. Since the pasuk says asher lo ubad ba, asher lo mashav oil, that word asher is a ribuy, and it tells us that to not do a klal prat, but rather to understand them as two separate statements. Asher le ubad ba, no work was done with it. And then separately, asher le moshka ba oil, that it didn't pull a yoke. And we're saying that the word yoke teaches us that there's a difference between b'shas avoda and shalai b'shas avoda, whether you intended for it to do work or whether you stand put it on there because you needed someplace to put down what you were carrying. By the way, the Gemara elsewhere in Bava Metzia explains a whole nother point on this as well. Since the pasuk says ubad, there was done work, but we can also read it as if it said ovad, because it's written in the Torah, ayin beis dalet. We learn from that the work has to be l'ritzona. It has to be that the owner of the animal wanted it to do this work or to carry this burden or something, as opposed to the Gemara mentions over there. Let's say, for example, a bird perches on the back of the animal. That wouldn't pass it. You had no intention of it perching there and you have no hanah from it. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rav Abahu, boy mi name Rav Yechanan. So Rav Abahu says, I once asked Rav Yechanan, Meshichas oil bekama. So we're saying that if the animal pulls a yoke, then in the case of the Egla Arufa, we're saying it has to pull it in order to be, it has to actually move with it in order to become possible. How far does it have to pull it? Omer le kimloi oil. So Rav Yechanan answers him, the size of an oil, the size of a yoke. Well, do we mean the length of the yoke or the width? The length of the yoke extends across the neck of the animal. Sometimes you even have a double yoke because you yoke a couple of animals together. And the width of it is much as the thickness of it is much narrower. Which direction are we talking about? So Omalahu Ahume Rabbanon v'Rab Yaakov Shmei, one of the Chachamim named Rab Yaakov told them, the Didimi Farshalem Ined Rab Yechanan, Rab Yechanan personally explained to me that Meshichas Oil L'Rochboi Tefach, the amount is the width, meaning the thickness of the yoke, which would be one tefach. So as long as the animal moves at least one tefach while it's carrying the yoke or whatever other burden, then it becomes possible to use as an egg ladder.
Space or right, left?
No, we mean, in other words, the space. So it was standing over here. It started walking forward. Once it walked forward a tefach, then it becomes possible.
Which is the thickness of,
which is the thickness of the yoke. So we're talking 3 or 4 inches. So the Gemara says, why does he have to say in such a way, Meshichas oil l'roch by tefach, v'leima tefach, why not just say straight out tefach? And the answer is Hakamash Malan, because Rabbi Yochanan wants us to know, incidentally, Shi'ura de oil tefach. What is the size? What is the standard thickness of a yoke? Is a tefach. Well, my nafkamin alamekachamemka, which is relevant as far as buying and selling. If you sell somebody a yoke, you are expected to deliver him one that is at least a tefach thick. And if you sell him one that's below a tefach thick, then he has a claim that you sold him something defective. One of the Mephoshim over here, the Dvar Shmuel, by the way, points out that apparently when it comes to the actual egg la'arufa, even if you did put a smaller yoke on it, it will still be possible as long as it carried it a tefach. But we're not saying that as far as the egg la'arufa, the nafkamina is whether the yoke is a tefach thick or not. We're just saying as far as mekach memka, it's relevant. Okay. Amar b'yechanan ben shol, mipnei ma omra Torah havi egg la'banachal. Why does the Torah say specifically to take a calf and bring it to a nachal, which again means either a valley or a stream, and kill it over there? It means Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yovei Dover Shalei Osa Peiros, let there come an object that has never produced fruit, because this animal is too young to have ever had babies. V'yorif b'mokim shein Osa Peiros, and you decapitate it in a place that cannot grow, that does not grow Paris, according to Rashi, because it's hard ground, and according to the Rambam, because there's a fast flowing stream over there, and you can't really plant anything in the stream.
It's soft.
Well, so then the Rambam would say that you do it over the bed of the stream or something. Right, he holds that Asan doesn't necessarily mean hard, it means that the current is hard, the current is fast flowing. Yeah. Like I said, there's a sicha where the Rebbe talks about, I think in Chelik Yudah and Chelik Tess, I think, where the Rebbe talks about an idea behind why they would hold their respective opinions. Rashi holds essentially that the purpose of it is kapara. The Rambam holds that the purpose of it is more to give publicity for the thing. So for example, you have to ask, the Rebbe says, if the purpose of it is kapara, then the Gemara's question is, shouldn't you choose the best possible land for it? Why are you choosing the worst possible land, hard, rocky ground? And the answer is based on this Gemara over here. Anyway, so you bring a dover shalei osa peiros, a calf which never produced children. The orif makom shein osa peiros, you decapitate it in a place which doesn't produce peiros. The chaper al mishlei nichol lasas peiros, and it'll bring a kapara on behalf of this person who was killed and was not made and was not left alive to produce peiros. So the Gemara asks, my peiros, ilema period of Arivia, do you mean that he wasn't allowed to stay alive where eventually he would have children? So what are you telling me? If the guy was old or he was a Swiss, you wouldn't do the egg la'arufa procedure? Of course you do. Ela mitzvahs, rather the peiros we mean over here are mitzvahs. The guy was not left to be alive where he would be able to accomplish more mitzvahs, which are the real peiros of a person. So therefore, because of that, we need a kapara. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Meridin Oysel Nachal Esam, we said we bring the calf down to a Nachal Esam, Esam Kimashmoy Kosha. And again, we said the word Esam means hard, or again, according to the Rambam, it would mean a fast flowing stream. So Tana Rabbana, Minayin La Esam Shul Kosha. Where do we see that the word Esam means hard? Shenemar, you have a posik, Bilam says to Yisra and his descendants, Esam Moshevecha Basimba Salakinecha. Your dwelling place is Esan, and you've placed your nest in the rocks. So therefore, so we see that Esan is like a hard, rocky area. According to the Rambam, again, the point would be that's hard as in a hard current, a strong current. The Omer, and you have another pasuk that also expresses this point, that Esan means hard. And the Navi says to the Jewish people, Shimu Horim, as it's in the Haftarah, Parshas Balak, Shimu Horem Asriv Hashem, listen, you mountains, to the argument that Hashem is making against the Jewish people. V'ha'isonim moistei oretz, and you Esonim, you powerful ones that are the foundation of the world. So we see again that Esan means mountains that are hard and that are the foundation of the world.
The obvious
of both ways, right? The obvious, it means the obvious, right? But so therefore we see, in other words, it actually says, what is a mountain composed of? Stones. Therefore, you see that the word asani means stones. Acherim, which usually means the mayor says, how do we know that the word asan means old, which means it actually says, according to acherim, the ground doesn't necessarily have to be hard, but it has to be original ground. It can't be ground, can't be dirt that was brought there from someplace else. So he says, how do you know that? Shenema, because you have a pasuk in Yirmiyah talking about the Kastim who are going to invade and conquer Eretz Yisrael, Goy Eisan Hu, they're an ancient nation, Goy Me Olam Hu, they're a nation that has existed for a long time. So therefore we see that the word Eisan means old. There's the second section of Hayom Yom, which the Rebbe started composing but never finished, but they published excerpts from it over the years that they found in the Rebbe's Ksav Yad. There's one over there taken from Piskim of the Friedrich Rebbe that says that the word Eisan actually has three meanings based on our Gemara over here. Alt, hart, stark, old, hard, and strong. And therefore, so when we talk about the Eisan Shem Neshama, the essential, the pintel of Yid, then it has all those three qualities. It's old because it comes from the obvious. It's hard and strong to withstand any challenges to our Yiddishkeit. The Mishnah had said, the Mishnah had said that they decapitate the calf with a cleaver or a machete from the back of its neck. So my time, and why dafka the back of its neck? So goma arifa arifa mechatasoif, because we learn xera shava on the word arifa. Here it says v'orfu, by the chatasoif it says mimul orpoi, and there it means that the koyan cuts into the back of the neck with his fingernail. So the same way over here, it means that you decapitate the animal from the back of its neck. Okay, the Mishnah had said a makoma osim lezroyam leovid, the area where you did the egla arufa is also to plant and to do field work over there. Different mephoshim talk about, by the way, how much of the area becomes also. Are we talking about only the actual footprint of where the animal was buried, or are we talking about a larger area than that? Anyway, so turn it up on it. Asher lo ye'ovet bo v'lo yizareh, lo sh'ovet divir Rav Yoshia. Rav Yoshia says that the psukim that say that you bring the calf to a place that lo ye'ovet and lo yizareh, that means that it never was worked and it never was planted. Says Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yonasan and Melahabba. Rabbi Yonasan says, no, these words in the pasuk mean for the future. From now on, you're not allowed to work and do to plant or do other field work there. So Rava points out, Lahabba de kola amalei pligi. When it comes to the future, that you're not allowed to plant there in the future, there's no machlokas. Because after all, the pasuk says, v'lo yizareya. It will not be planted, implying that there's an issue from now on to plant there. The machlokas is only, can it have been worked before? Can this piece of ground where you're doing the egla arufa, can it ever have been worked before? Rav Yoshia sava miksiv v'lo yu'ubad. So Rav Yoshia takes the view. After all, the pasuk says, doesn't say v'lo yu'ubad, or Hagoyis Habach changes it to v'lo yu'ubad. So Hagoyis Habach adds a few words in the Gemara over here. It says lo yu'ubad. So therefore, in other words, the point is, it's not saying that it can never be worked. It's saying lo ye oved, which implies that it never was, that it's a place that is not used to being worked. Ye oved, the yud, doesn't always mean future tense. Sometimes it means present tense. Sometimes it means ongoing. Like you have the famous thing, for example, the Shema Havaya, the yud, the Shema Havaya means that Hashem is constantly recreating the world. So the same way, Rabbi Yonason is saying, and Rabbi Yoshia, rather, is saying that the yud doesn't mean you're not allowed to work it in the future. It's true you can't, because it says v'lo yizareya, but it said, but the lo ye oved doesn't mean that it shall not be worked. It means it has not been worked. It is not being worked. So therefore, it means in the past. Rabbi Yonason answers to that. Miksiv asher lo nevad. If it said asher lo nevad, then it would be clear, past tense. Ye oved can be understood as future tense. So what does Rabbi Yoshia answer to that? It's true that if it explicitly wanted to mean that it wasn't worked in the past, it would have said nevad, fine. But Rabbi Yoshia says asher l'sha'ova mashma, but the word asher implies that it's something in the past. It's not a mitzvah. It's not saying a mitzvah, what you're not allowed to do. It's giving a description of how it was in the past. Okay, so then...
That's the next part, yeah. There, so then...
Right.
How do you know? I mean, if
so, you don't do it right in the exact place where the body was found. You do it in a nachal near that area. having measured and found what's the nearest city, then you find the nearest nachal and you do it over there. Okay. And Rav Yonason, so what does Rav Yonason answer to that? What is he doing with the word asher? He says just the opposite, asher ribuyahu. The asher is a ribuy, that it means that not only planting, but other kinds of field work are also. So therefore he says that, so you're telling me, Rav Yonason, that asher means, you're telling me, Rav Yoshia, that asher means it's a description rather than a prescription of what to do or not to do in the future. No, the asher is adding other kinds of field work are also as well. Okay. Now, we said a mutal lisrik sham pishon or nakel sham avonim. We said you are allowed to comb flax or shape stones over there. So why is that? Tanan avonon. When it says asher ovid bovloy zareya, the pasuk is saying that it will not be worked with and it will not be planted. Ainly elazuria. Now, so far from lo yizareya, you would only know that planting is also shad avodis minayin. How do we know that other kinds of work are also as well? Tamadam asher lo yovid boi mikol mokum. Therefore, it says asher lo yovid boi, which implies any other kind of work. Again, that would follow Rabbi Yonason before, where we said that he says that it means lahabah. According to Rabbi Yoshia, it means only or we said actually before, we said that both of them agree that it can't be planted in the future because it's a lo yizareya. But we said they're arguing on the words lo yeoved, whether it's a description. Rabbi Yoshia is saying it's only a description. Yeah, Rabbi Yonason is saying that it's a prescription. So now our Braisa and our Mishnah and the Braisa that we're quoting would go according to Rabbi Yonason, that other kinds of work are also as well because it says lo yeoved. So in pain, ma tamad lemu v'lo yizareya. So then what's the point of saying v'lo yizareya if anyway you're including all other kinds of work? Lo malach, it comes to tell you, ma zriya miyuchedes shiva gufa shokarka. Just like what is unique about planting, it's something you do with the actual ground itself. Af kol shiva gufa shokarka. So therefore, what kind of work is also only the kind of work that involves the actual ground itself? Yotze srikas pishon v'nikra avonim. Therefore, excluding, for example, combing flax or shaping stones, she'ena b'gufa shokarka. Those are not in the karka itself. You're just using the karka basically as a workbench for those, as opposed to plowing or planting or planting trees or whatever, which involve the actual karka itself, where all of those would be also. Well, the Gemara asks again, like we did on Amud Aleph, maybe say the word lo yeoved is meant to be a klal, lo yizareya prat, and the lo yizareya then would be a prat. Klal the prat of ain klal al mashav prat. So then we would apply that rule and say that only what's in the prat is included. Zriya ain midach rin aloy. Maybe then it would include only planting and not any other kind of malacha. And again, the answer is asher riboy. Or who the answer is again that when it says asher, then it's a riboy. And it comes to include other kinds. It means to tell you, don't darshan the klal prat over here, but rather understand that it's two separate things. One, don't plant with it. And number two, don't do any other kind of work that is similar to planting in that you're using the goof of the karka. But don't darshan it as a klal prat. Then we said in the Mishnah, there's some discussion. Would Rabbi Yoshia agree with this? The Be'er Sheva says that maybe even Rabbi Yoshia agrees with that, but he would just say that it has to be a place that it wasn't worked. But he would agree with the basic concept that you can't do other kinds of work there in the future. Anyway, we said in the Mishnah, Ziknei Urochtin Yudein Chola. We said the elders of the city wash their hands over there, and they say Yudein Lo Shofkos Adam Azeh. And we said in the Mishnah. So first of all, for Tanur Rabbanan, we said that they washed their hands over the place where the animal was decapitated. So where do we see that? Tanur Rabbanan, when the pasuk says, "B'chol ziknei irahia krev melacholo," all the elders of that city that's closest to the dead body, yuchatsu es yadeim, they should wash their hands al ha'egla harufa banochal, over the egla that was decapitated in the valley. So she'ein tamad lema ha'arufa. Now the pasuk didn't need to say ha'arufa. We already know the animal was decapitated from a couple of psukim earlier. Means al-mokam arifasa shal egla. They have to wash their hands exactly over where the animal was decapitated. Then the pasuk continues, and quoting from the Mishnah, they say our hands did not spill this blood and our eyes did not see. So as we said in the Mishnah of Chiyav Lebeinu, also should based in Shreif from Damim, would we have thought that based in spilled blood? Ella, they mean so it means that he didn't come to our attention and we let him go without food and we didn't see him and let him go without Levoya. In the Mishnah, by the way, those phrases, Beloy Mizonis and Beloy Lavoya, were in parenthesis, and it seems that maybe the original Mishnah didn't have them. The Mishnah was just saying, Uftanuhu, Vinachnuhu, and then the Brai says, adding the detail, that Beloy Ra'inu, Uftanuhu, means Beloy Mazin. Beloy Ra'inu, Vinachnuhu, means without Lavoya. So now the Gemara is going to go into a discussion about this mitzvah of Lavoya, about this mitzvah of accompanying a guest, of accompanying a guest. Where again, like we said before, Marashah says, even you're not walking him that far, but it symbolizes that you're looking out for him, and therefore Hashem takes that into consideration when deciding what should happen with the person next. So Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, we force people to do Lavoya, meaning, in other words, exactly that. Rashi says, if somebody doesn't want to do Lavoya to a guest, we force him to do it. And the idea is, in other words, Beis Din sets up people who are responsible for that kind of thing. That's why Beis Din is saying, lo re'inu v'inachnu below Lavoya, because Beis Din's responsibility to make sure that there are people doing that. And Reb Meir says, Sheschar halvoya ein lashir. Reb Meir says, in fact, the reward for halvoya, there's no limit to it. It keeps on going forever. Shenemar, and we have a pasuk that expresses that point. So the psukim and Udi and Sefer Shoftim, it describes how after Yeshua passed away, the various Shevatim were going and finishing the job of conquering their areas of Eretz Yisrael. So it mentions that Shevet Yosef, Menashe, and Ephraim, at one point were trying to capture the city of Luz, and they couldn't find the way into the city. So then the pasuk says, "Shenemer by Yudu Ashoimrim Ish Yotzim in Eir." The guards saw somebody coming out of the city, one of the goyim who lived over there. "Vayomru Loi Harenu Noas Mavoya Eir." They say to him, "Show us the way into the city." "Vastinu Imcha Chesed," and we will do Chesed with you. Ochtiv, and the pasuk continues, "Vayaremus Mavoya Eir." He showed them the way into the city. So that's considered like Lavoya, because what's Lavoya? You're telling the person the next way to go. So now he told them the next way to go, how to get into the city. Rashi brings on the pasuk over there, by the way, that the city was called Luz, which means an almond tree. They actually had the way in and out of the city was through a hollow trunk of an almond tree. That's why they didn't realize there was no regular gate over there. So now the guy showed them the secret entrance in and out of the city.
That wasn't the place that had scorpions and water blocking the entrance.
No. Okay. Scorpions. No.
The one entrance had the kind of scorpions couldn't get
in. No. Anyway. So umach chesed osu imo. So what was the chesed they did with him? Shekola oisor irhogu lefi cherev veoisor veoish mishpachta shelechu. As the pasuk goes on to say, they killed everybody in the city with the sword, because after all they have the mitzvah of wiping out the Knanim. But this guy and his family they left to go free. And the pasuk continues. So first of all, it benefited him that his descendants, that he has descendants in future generations, where otherwise, if he hadn't shown them that chesed, eventually they would have conquered the city and he would have been killed too. But second of all, vayelach ish eretz achitim, the pasuk continues there in Shoftim, the man went to the land of the Chittim outside Eretz Yisrael. Vayiven ir, he built the city. Vayikra shmo Luz, he called the name of the city. He called the name of the city Luz. That is the name of the city until this very day. And Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, what's so special about the city of Luz? So obviously, he named the new city after his old city. But who Luz Shatsovin Matchelas? First of all, this is the city of Luz where they die Tchelas. So Tchelas itself comes from creatures that live by the Mediterranean, but then they bring them to Luz for processing, and therefore, in other words, the city's economy depended on that. And Tchelis is very expensive, so it means they were making a nice panos over there. He Luz Shabbos Sancherev Leibivola. In fact, it is the city of Luz. Sancherev, even though he conquered the whole world and transported the people from one place to the other, nevertheless, he never did that to the city of Luz. Nebuchadnezzar came along in his times and he didn't destroy the city. Rashi explains, because since the pasuk says ad hayom hazeh, then it means until this very day, until nowadays, when you read the pasuk, that city still exists. So we see that Sancheirav and Nebuchadnezzar had no power over it. Where is it now? It's not in Eretz Yisrael. It's outside Eretz Yisrael, someplace in Turkey, Mustama, I don't know. Whatever, anyway. Even the Malach HaMavis has no permission to go into the city. Ellis, Kadim Shabab, is Mancha Daitan Kotzalayan, the old people in that city, when they get tired of life, Yurtsin Chutfachoim, they mason, they go outside the city and then they die. So now the mayor says, Valoy Dvorim Kavachoim. So now make a Kavachoim over here. Uma Knani Zeshla Dibbafivloy Holoch Bradaglam. This Knani, to give the Bnei Yosef the instructions how to go into the city. He didn't talk with his mouth, as the Gemara is going to explain in a second, how he showed them where the way is. So he didn't actually say verbally, this is the way. He didn't walk with his feet to go there. And yet, he brought about salvation for rescue for himself and his descendants till the end of time. So then somebody who does Lavoya by actually accompanying a guest on his feet, Allah has kama kama, how much more so that he gets a schar that lasts forever? So the Gemara asks, well, if we're saying that this Knani from Luz did not actually tell them where the entrance is, then how did he show them? Chizkiya says he curled his mouth, like he made a motion with his mouth like this. And then they realize from that what he's referring to. Rabbi Yochanan, that's boy, Herolahem. Rabbi Yochanan says he pointed with his finger. And Moses says, Tanya Kabasei Rabbi Yochanan. We learn a brisa like Rabbi Yochanan. B'shvil Sheknani is a herabetz boy. Another brisa says basically the same one as before, but it says because he pointed with his finger, Goram Hatzolaloy Lazarad saved Kaderis. Therefore, he saved himself and his generations and his descendants for all future generations. Tiferes Tzion points out over here that maybe you could say, in other words, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, you need to at least do some maaseh to be yotzei mitzvah of levoya. It's not enough to just move your lips. You have to actually, you may not have to walk on your feet, but at least you have to point with your finger to show the way to go. Okay. Amar Rabbi Shurban Levi, hamahalach baderach va'ein lo levoya. Suppose a person is walking on the road and he has nobody to accompany him. So yasif ba'torah, then he should occupy himself with learning Torah while he's traveling. Because that will be his levoya. They will be a livyaschein for your head. In context, the word livyaschein means a beautiful garland, a beautiful crown of leaves, like for your head. But we're meant to understand livyas meloshin levoya chein, that the Torah will give you chein, like we say in Tefillas Aderech Husneinu lechein ulechetzer ulrachmim. Va'anokim legagur esecha, and there'll be like a necklace around your neck. So we see that Torah can be a person's levoya if nobody else is available.
Is this a capital film somewhere?
No, it's a pasuk in Mishlei. And we had it in last week's Pirkei Avos. V'amra b'shurban levi, b'shvil abba p'siyas sh'liva parei l'avram, because of four steps that Parei accompanied Avraham when he was leaving Mitzrayim, sh'nema v'itzavol parei anoshim v'gemer, and we know that because the pasuk says that Parei commanded men to accompany Avraham. Because of that, nishtab b'bon of Arameis Trana, because of that, he was able to subjugate the Jewish people for 400 years, sh'nema v'avodim b'inuosim Arameis Trana. Now, we don't mean the golus was caused by that, by Parei being malave him. Marashah explains, in other words, the golus was nigzer for other reasons. But the question, Hashem didn't say at the Bris Ben Hamsodim which nation is going to subjugate the Jewish people. The fact that Parei and his nation got to do that is a result of this Levoya of doing Levoya for Avraham. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kolam Alaves Chavera Abba Amas Be'ir Einin Nizik. If a person accompanies another fellow Yid, even four Amas in the city, then that other Yid won't be harmed as a result of that, like we said before from Marsha. And the Gemara gives an example. Ravina Alviya L'Rova Bayitzchak Dalad Amas Behir. Ravina one time accompanied Rova Bayitzchak only four Amas in the city. And Motla Yodeh Hezekah. And Rova Bayitzchak later on was in a situation that could have been dangerous for Itzo. And he was saved in the schus of the fact that Ravina had walked with him four Amas. Tonan Abonim, we learn in a braisa, Harav L'Talmid Ad Ibura Shalir. A Rav should accompany his Talmud. When his Talmud is leaving town, the Rav should accompany him until the Ibura Shalir, which means until the extension of the city, which is the houses that stick out up to about 70 Amos on any side of the city. So he should walk with him 70 Amos outside the city. Chover l'chover, a friend for a friend, or might mean one Talmud Chacham for another Talmud Chacham, should accompany Ad Tchum Shabbos up to the Tchum Shabbos, 2,000 Amos. Talmud l'Rav, Eim L'Shir, a Talmud accompanying a Rav, there's no limit. Now, Kama, what do you mean, no limit? What, does he have to travel with him to the end of the world? No, it means Omer of Sheshes ad Parisa. He has to walk with him a maximum of Parisa, which is four mil, about 2.5 miles. Now that would only apply only if it's not his rabbi muvak, only if it's not his primary rebbe that he learned most of his Torah from. But if it's his rabbi muvak, then he has to accompany him up to three parsa. Obviously, the rebbe can be moichel on his kavod, and most people do nowadays. But in principle, the Talmud has that requirement. So the Gemara continues. Reb Kahana alviyeh l'Reb Shimi ba'Ashi mipumnar ad Beit Sinisa debavel. One time, Reb Kahana was accompanying Reb Shimi ba'Ashi from Pumnar, which is a city in Bavel, until an area in Bavel that had a lot of palm trees. So he was walking with him that distance. Ki motu hasam, when they came to that area, the palm trees, Omole, so Reb Kahana asked Reb Shimi ba'Ashi, Vade damritu, is it true that I've heard that you say Hanitzin Yosid Bavel Mishnei Adam Rishon Isnu, that these palm trees growing in this part of Bavel are here ever since the times of Adam Rishon? Omalei, so Rav Shimi says, not quite, but in Karitan Milsa, you've reminded me of a statement, the Omer of Yosef Abchanim. My dichtib, what does it mean, a pasuk? The eretz like over ba'ish. The pasuk says, a land in which no man passed through, the lo yosham odam sham, and no odam ever lived there. Now, you have to ask, why does it need to say the double expression? If no person ever passed through the area, the Navi is saying to the Jewish people, you should realize what a chesed Hashem did by taking you through the midbar safely, where nobody ever lived. But what do you mean? If nobody ever passed through there, of course nobody lived there. What it means is the pasuk is saying eretz shegozer. The word when it says odom means odom as an odomerishin. Eretz shegozer ala odomerishin liyishuv. Any land that odomerishin decided should be settled nisyashva. Then it was settled. Eretz shaloi gozer ala odomerishin liyishuv. A land that odom did not decide should be settled was not. So in other words, the pasuk is saying be'eretz la'ova ba'ish. It's a land where no human being ever passed through. Why? Because lo yoshav odom sham. Because odom did not decide that it should be a settled area. So in other words, Rav Shimi is explaining to Rav Kahana, it's not that the actual palm trees are as old as the time of Adam Edition, which by now would make them 4,000 years old. It means that Adam decided that this would be an area where there's going to be palm trees, and therefore from Maisa Bereshis until now, palm trees continue to grow here, but it's not the same trees. And the Gemara mentions another example, Rav Mordechai Alviyeh l'Rav Ashi may have grunya ba'ad Beikipi. Rav Mordechai accompanied Rav Ashi, who was his Rebbe, from Hagrunya to Beikipi, ba'amila ad Beidura, or others say to Beidura. Either way, that's a considerable distance because we said that a Talmud has to accompany his Rebbe even three parsa. This may have been even more than three parsa, which is why the Gemara is highlighting it. But the point is that he was willing to go, even that he went that extra distance on behalf of his Rebbe. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. The Gemara is going to continue more on the subject of Lavoya, but we're going to talk about it in connection with the famous story of Elisha and the children over there who made fun of him and so forth. We're going to get into that. Oh. We're going to get into that by Rifus tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.